If you go to, I saw an item. How much is it? They say 25 cedis. I said, no, now. Let me pay 19 cedis. And they were angry. Ah. I said, you know, people here. I went to another place again. I thought maybe it was that trader that had a bad behavior. You know, some traders had a bad day. They slept on their bed. They woke up under their bed. You don't know what's going on. So I went to another place again. I wanted to buy a shoe. They had very nice shoes in that market. How much is this shoe? 24 cedis. Let me pay 18 cedis. He says, no, it's 24 cedis. Now I'll agree 18 cedis because they speak pidgin there. The guy was angry. I said, what's going on here? So I now asked some of the people that were together. And they said, yes, that's what they noticed here too. That they don't haggle over prices like that here. That they are kind of direct. You know, here in Nigeria, if this thing, you know, what it means is that if the real price is 25,000, the seller will say it is 25, just like, you know, when you go to supermarket, because, you know, the culture that determined that supermarket, you know, supermarket is a foreign culture thing. Mm-hmm. If you go to, but you know, if you go to our local markets in Nigeria, and they call something 2,500. I just removed 2,500 and pay. I pity you. You would have bought something that is maybe worth 700 naira for 2,500. It's a cultural thing. So somebody will carry something that he knows is 700 naira, but he will tell you that it is 2,500. And if you don't know the system, you will just waste your money. What I'm trying to say is that, I was just trying to explain the Nigerian culture, right? And so it's possible for you to be, so Nigeria, we have our own culture. Somebody was telling me that he went to the UK. He said when he got there, that before he left Nigeria, that all the money that he had, because it was an international flight, all the money that he had finished, because custom will say, the last time I was flying, the guy that was doing luggage was asking me, bros, anything for us? Anything for us? Anything for us? I was like, oh, I didn't carry contraband. He first of all asked me that, is there wine in my bag? I said, no, I already read the instruction. You are not supposed to travel with wine. He said, is there big perfume? I said, it's just my normal body spray. The guy was just over nice. Later, I was like, bros, you don't get anything for the boys. He was just disturbing me. I said, no. And I passed. But, you know, if it was international travel, those custom guys can say, you are not going. And your flight, if you miss your flight, do you understand? So, he was telling me, just last week, he said, I don't know how much he said he was carrying. He said, that's how he was just settling people. They were demanding for money. And the money in his hand almost finished. He said, but he was surprised that when he got to the UK, he was expecting the same thing to happen, that nobody asked him for any money. He said, not one. And that's how we pass. You know that it's in Nigeria that if you go to, and I'm not casting, I love Nigeria. Oh, I love Nigeria so much that sometimes when we sing the national anthem, especially the second stanza, I almost cry. I love this country. I love this country. And I don't believe in, I love Nigeria so, this country is so unique and it's so precious. And Nigerians are wonderful people. Yes, we have bruises, we have spots and wrinkles here and there. But, I mean, Nigeria. If this country would just be good small, you see the way many Nigerians abroad will run back. Do you know about some just time? Many Nigerians were coming back. Just let it be good small. Because Nigeria is a wonderful place. Amen? It's in Nigeria that you will see that a civil servant, the reason why he's sitting now on that desk, they gave him job and they are paying him monthly salary and leave bonus, is to do that job. What is the job? Sign stuff. Maybe he works in the Ministry of Land. One person was telling me that he was trying to get RO, and they said the file was missing. They said they opened another file. By the time they opened like the seventh file, I said, don't you understand what these people are saying? They want you to give them money. Because if you don't give them money, they are collecting salary. But if you don't give them money to do their job, are you understanding what I'm saying? It's a cultural thing. I was discussing with somebody a few days ago. I said, do you know why Yahoo is so serious, is so strong? Do you know why corruption? I said, corruption, the reason why corruption is strong in Nigeria is because it's a cultural thing. And I explained. I said, it's a cultural thing. I said, because we're in a culture in which when you are bringing money that people cannot explain, as long as you are bringing the money, people will be following you to spend the money. This is not to brag. And I use my family as an example. I said, when I was in the university, 200 level, I was quite good with the computer. I was already doing ethical hacking. And I had some people I was training. I mean, by that time, I knew enough ICT stuff, computer stuff. In fact, I don't know. Let's not go into that. I was really good. I'm still good. It's just that, you know, practice makes. It's not long I've done all of those things. We write virus. You know, I was in the midst of. And so I had one boy, I still remember. I'm not going to call his name because he's now born again. He was following me and my other friend. And the reason why he was following us as our boy was because he wanted to be a Yahoo boy. It was not like now. You know, now Yahoo is about juju. Yahoo is Ogun, is blood money now. Then, in 2008, 2009, Yahoo was just about hacking, stealing people's credit card, collecting their credit card, you know, using their credit card. It was just basically knowing your way around the computer and knowing how to hack. And I remember that we saw this boy that didn't know, that knew maybe one-tenth of what we knew. And we saw the kind of Armani bag that he was carrying that time. And the kind of suit that he was wearing. And we knew it was Yahoo money. And me and my friend would look at ourselves and say, hey, now wow. The little thing that we taught this boy now, look at what he's doing. And then, of course, because I'm a human being, even though I was born again then, but I wasn't as mature. I thought, I said, ha, it occurred to me that you can do this thing now. It's not to just learn the format. You get credit card, you buy plenty laptops, you ship it to Lagos, you sell. Amen? But I remembered something. You see, because my family, and not just even my mother's family, my father was a Muslim. Gave his life to Christ. And he married my mom, who was from a Christian family. And by the grace of God, most of her siblings are born again. And for some reason, because of the influence of my grandma, the culture of the family became more like the culture of the kingdom of God. Such that, even till today, in my mother's family, if they hear that I'm a billionaire, and they realize that I'm a Yahoo boy, and I'm doing housewarming, nobody will come in that family. If I give them money, they will not collect. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I thought about it. I thought about my own parents. Because when you have money, and at that point in my life, the people you want to please are your parents. I say, where will I carry this money to? If I carry it to my parents, they will almost curse me. And that was one deterrent for me. And I was explaining, I say, see, this just buttresses the point that the only people that can change Nigeria is the church. Because we have a culture here that when you go and bring money, culturally, we don't have a system that frowns against ill-gotten wealth. Culturally. Because even if we have it, it's not strong. It's not like a... Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the Western world was greatly determined by Christian culture. And I mean, they are by no way perfect. But do you know that one of the reasons why corruption is not rife in the Western world is that there are some reputations that if you have, because maybe you did one corruption, even your children will not get anybody to employ them. Your children, nobody will employ them. Because of the kind of reputation that you have. Because they still have some values and some standards. I was reading about, amen, the governor of one state that was accused of corruption, bribery. When Obama was president, he had the right to appoint somebody, because Obama was a senator before he became president. So he had a right. He was governor of this Obama state. That's Illinois. So he had a right as the governor of the state to appoint a senator to replace Obama until it is time for election. Do you understand? As the governor. So what he did was that he collected bribe of, I think, $50,000 from one man. So he basically sold that right, which in Nigeria we consider to be a big deal. He and then it came out, I think FBI discovered it, that he collected bribe of, was it $50,000? It's not such a fantastic amount. apart from the fact that they removed the guy from office as governor, his wife lost her job. He couldn't find a job. He could not find a job. He ended up, I think at one point he was singing in a club. That's governor of a state. He was singing in one, and people were not even listening to him. He still went to prison. It was Trump that gave him pardon. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because there are some kind of money that in some societies, you know, the point about money is that you want to spend your money and enjoy spending your money. That if the society is correct and sane, you won't be able to spend it. And this correction must start from the church. A time will come that you bring money, anyhow money. In fact, that time has come. They will ask you, where did you get this money from? The last time we checked, you are a civil servant. How much is your salary? And they will not collect it. They will not spend it with you. And since your church is your community, you know that you cannot bring that kind of money to church. Until we stop collecting useless offerings. And with pastors saying things like, even if it is blood money, bring it, we'll wash it with a bigger blood. May God judge such pastors out of the pulpits in Nigeria in Jesus' name. Amen. When we begin to make it clear that you cannot bring dirty money here. I like what Daddy Kumi said some weeks ago. You heard it. He said any offering that he said they will return it. I pray that they will be able to enforce that law. Until we make it very clear that you cannot bring dirty. You cannot go and sleep with a man and have a sugar daddy and be bringing tithe of the money that your sugar daddy gave you. If you don't respect your father at home, you respect God in heaven. You cannot be in the office and money that they are supposed to use to develop. Because let me tell you something, every money you embezzle in the office is the reason why we have bad roads. Amen? It's the reason why we have more accidents on our roads than normal because of bad roads. That means you are indirectly a murderer. Oh, it's 10 million naira bribe you collected. It's 3 million naira kickback. Then you now go and give your 8. In fact, you multiply tithe. You give 20th, not 10%. You give 20%. And then your church will collect it. That's how culture changes society. Because I realized that if I had that money, where will I spend it? Money that will make my family members to stop talking to me? Is it worth it? Are we together? And that revolution must start from the church in Nigeria. When we get to the point where we say it clear, let us stop assuming. See, we know these things. In Stream Globe, some of us will be wondering why we removed our account number from the website. It's because of this thing. I realize that it's not every money that you should collect as a ministry. So if people are just giving money, so we have a system now that if you want to give money, you have to contact somebody first. You understand? And if I still remember one drug pusher in Malaysia called me. That was the last time I heard from him. I told that story before. He called me and said he wanted me to pray for him. I knew he had a lot. You know, when you're talking to someone that have money, you will know. I knew he had a lot of money. I knew he was willing to give our ministry a lot of money. And I started praying for him. I said, sorry, what do you do? Because he was like, I should pray for his business, that God should protect him, that his life is always in danger. He says, sir, I won't lie to you. I'm into drugs. I said, if you don't stop that drug, they will catch you and you go to jail. He called me to pray for him. You know this universal prayer that God will protect you so that he will use the anointing to protect himself in drug. Did I need to tell you that that was the last time I heard from him? See, if I didn't allow the Holy Spirit to, because when I felt that check in my spirit, in fact, I resisted because I was like, which kind of check that will spoil you? Those are the kind of people that will say, after the prayer, they say, please, can you send me the ministry's account number? And then they will pay some very good money into the ministry. And the ministry needs money. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't want that kind of person to go to our website and go and see account number and just pay. We don't want your money. Even the scribes, the Sanhedrin, those people that crucified Jesus, they had more sense than to collect blood money. When Judas Iscariot saw that Jesus Christ was crucified and he brought the money back, they say no. They say it's blood money. We don't put it in the temple. Even they had more sense than many of us today. May God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't want that kind of money. Don't bring. I still remember there was one young man I was discipling. The first person I discipled in this town was a Yahoo boy. I didn't know that this town had an epidemic of Yahoo boyism. May the Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. I didn't know. I met him inside. I met him praying, doing prayer and fasting in January. Prayer and fasting. That 21 days prayer and fasting that they used to do. Some of you are still doing 40 days or 50 days. And the Holy Spirit had told me in the morning that I want you to minister to somebody. And throughout the day, I was like, who is this person? So in the evening, I saw him strolling. And we just started talking. And then he was going through a lot of stuff. And I started sharing. And I started ministering the gospel to him. And then prayed for him. And then I realized that he was actually a Yahoo boy that came to pray for the blessing of God upon his business. Now that sounds funny. It's not funny. You know what I'm. There are many. You go to church. There are many of them. When they are saying, "Bring your point of," they will bring out their phone as point of contact for blessing. May the Lord deliver us in Jesus' name. And then his discipleship was very rough because, you know, the thing with most of these Yahoo boys is that they didn't finish school, so they can't be employed. They didn't learn work. They can't be employed. Then to now worsen it, their mouth is now big. If you are discipling them and say, hey, go and work in Bro Yemi's office, they can't. They say, how much will they be paying me? I can't do that kind of work because they've been doing big boy. So it's a very, very difficult thing. Because if you are going to disciple Yahoo, any discipleship that will not make him to stop doing Yahoo, that one is not discipleship. It's club. People are playing. For you, pastor, that is watching this, and you have Yahoo boys in your church, and you are collecting their offering, the angels have already started counting your day, your expiry date. They are counting it. Yes. Give him the microphone. Give him the other microphone. Hallelujah. Okay. He should bring some amount so that they will do his share. They will pray for him. Okay. That's not a church. That's a babalawo that's wearing suit. That's a shrine. Don't worry. In Jesus' name, they are saying it does not mean anything. The demons that the sons of Sceva drove out of, were trying to drive out of the sons of Sceva, they said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. Demons can say the name of Jesus. You understand? So the fact that they are saying Jesus' name and shouting hallelujah does not change the fact that the man is a babalawo wearing white garment or wearing suit. Any pastor that will tell you that go and bring money, let us pray for you, let's kill cow, let's do this, is not a pastor. We didn't so learn Christ. Amen? Yes. And you notice that those are the kind of pastors that pray for Yahoo boys very well. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Yes, let me work for you. Yes. They are encouraging them to do more of it. They are not the church. They The church is the pillar and ground of truth. Please put your phone on silent or do not disturb. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Jesus said narrow is the way that leads to life. And there are few that find it. He said broad is the way that leads to destruction. The kingdom of God, you see, what God is doing is a very serious thing. It's not about, you know, this breakthrough. You will get breakthrough. Jesus gives breakthrough. And you will get all the breakthrough you need in Jesus' name. But the kingdom of God is not about breakthrough. It has never been about breakthrough. And it will never be about. We're talking about bigger things here. We're talking about more serious things. We're talking about eternal things here. Have you ever asked yourself why some of the strongest babalawos that people go to and do charms, it looks as if they are poor in the village? Because even they realize that there are more serious things in this life than breakthrough. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. It's not because they are stupid, though. You know, it's not because they are stupid. You will realize at some point that having money is work. Having money. You know, if I was a billionaire, coming here, I won't be able to come here the way I came. You think if I was Dangote, I won't be able to come here the way I came. Because I will have to plan, because there will be so many people that will want to obtain from me, both good people and bad people. It is work. I'm not preaching the gospel of poverty, because our own God is not poor. No, our God is not. The devil is not rich where God is so. If you want to know how rich God is, okay, the Lord will open your eyes to know how rich your Father in heaven is. Because when people that are truly rich don't run after money, is that not so?
Yes.
And people that are truly rich don't talk about money. When last did you see us talking about air? We need air. You know why? There is abundant air. You hardly hear people talking about air. It's people that maybe have problem, medical problem, that begin to talk about oxygen to breathe. When you know, understand how wealthy, because in the next 1 million years, you will still be alive. This body would have died, but the real you that makes you you, because you know that your body is just like, it's just like the cloth that your soul and your spirit is wearing. And that's when the real things, that's when it will become clear, the people that were wise now and the people that were foolish. Because the next 1 million years, some of us will be very wealthy, will be rich, will be in glory. But there are some people that will be in hellfire. And there are some people that may even be in the kingdom of God, but they will not be great. They will be least in the kingdom of God because of the way that they have lived their lives and the things that they have given their affection to. So that guy came to my house one day. I think the last time he came to my house, he brought bread. See, anytime I think about that, I'm happy. Because I told him that, see, me, I don't know how to disciple you, the kind of discipleship that you see between Yahoo Yahoo and you'll be following Jesus. I said, they are incompatible. They are incompatible. He brought bread. He didn't drop the bread. He was so afraid. He was telling me, he said, he brought bread for me, but he knew I won't collect it. He said, because I may say that the money that you used to buy the bread is not clean. I said, thank God you know. Thank God you know. You know I'm not, I will not collect. It's not, if you bring bread to my house, I'll collect it too. Amen. If you bring bread, I know your money is clean. I need it. I want it. If you give me an offering, I'll collect it. It's the will of God. Amen. But if that your money is dirty, don't bring it to my house. If you bring it to my house, they curse upon your life. If you brought it to my house and I did not know and I collected it, you are cursed. Don't bring it to my house. And don't put that kind of money in Stream Globe. If you put it inside Stream Globe, you are cursed. The Bible says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. When you bring it to a ministry that is doing the work of God, you are reporting yourself to God and to the angels of God. They will punish you. If your money is not clean, don't bring it. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Please, I beg you in the name of God, for your safety and for everybody's safety, don't bring that kind of money to our ministry. I know that this is being recorded to be listened to. It will be heard by much, much more people than are listening to it right now. So what God is doing is that He's giving us His own nature, His divine nature. He's building His church. Our time has really gone and we have to close. So maybe we'll continue this next week. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us.
Amen.
We ask that you open our eyes to see the kingdom of God. We ask that you open our understanding to understand the things that we need to understand in order for us to live fruitful lives in your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Before we call it a day, let me just give us points that we have learned today. We saw that God has expectations of us. And the kingdom of God should be allowed to grow within you. It's an incorruptible seed. The more it grows, the more you deaden the works of the flesh, you mortify the world, the more you just realize that it is easier for you to walk in righteousness than to walk in iniquity. A time will come that it will be more difficult for you to tell a lie. Amen?
Amen.
It will be more difficult for you to tell a lie than to tell the truth. What I mean is that, you know, some people, lie is normal, truth is scarce. A time will come that for you, truth is normal and lying is scarce. In fact, when you are lying, your heart will be beating like this. You know why our police in Nigeria, they don't use lie detector? It will work. You need a cultural framework in order for lie detector to work. You know how lie detector works now? If you check your heart rate and all of that. You think many people here, many people in this country that lie, you think their heart rate will change? Of course, normally your heart rate should change when you are telling a lie. Anyway, that was just by the way. May God help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As this divine nature grows in you, you will now discover that the power of God will be more, the power of God will be abundant and present in your life because you have allowed the divine nature to grow. Remember I talked about discipline. Oh, I talked about training yourself. You need to learn to train yourself. Maybe you want to pray. You say you will pray for 1 hour. And then you slept off. Training yourself means that you say, because I slept off, I will pray for 2 hours. When you start training yourself like that, that thing that used to make you to sleep, will advise itself to leave you. May God give us understanding. Let's rise up as we begin to pray. Kalabose teke tebalis. Talaba fi owe. Talole ba odogba. Talaba fi owe. Talole ba odogba. Olorun to jolorun lo talaba fi owe. Olorun to jolorun lo talaba fi owe. Talaba fi owe. Talole ba odogba. Talaba fi owe. Talole ba odogba. Hallelujah. Olorun to jolorun lo talaba fi owe. Olorun to jolorun lo talaba fi owe. I don't know what you have learned today, but begin to install it into your spirit through prayer. Install it into your spirit through prayer. You know, we talked about the divine nature. How God cannot lie. how God does not lie. As you have that divine nature and walk in that divine nature, you will train yourself in truth. You will train yourself in integrity. Say, Father, from today I will be a man of integrity. In Jesus' name we pray. I know a servant of God. His name is Evangelist Sunday Oguche. He prayed for my father in the Lord in 2000 and some years ago. And the impact, bro, you will know him now, Evangelist Sunday Oguche. Prayed for my father in the Lord. And the effect of that prayer was evident. Almost immediately, my father in the Lord started working on that level of grace. I knew he was a man of God because when I was a young boy who had gone through a lot of stuff, you know, when I was in Mina, the devil was trying to manipulate my life and my destiny seriously, and it was seriously affecting my academics. They had a crusade there and he came and prayed, preached. In fact, the gospel was so strong that I came out for altar call, even though I was already born again. Because this man is a preacher of righteousness. And it's not just preaching it, he's living it. And I realized that there's something that man has with God. It's power, it's authority. Recently, I was in a conference in Makurdi and he prayed for people and he prayed for us. And I know the effect it had on me. And I was saying, Lord, I saw his wife on Facebook yesterday. I said, what is it about these people? You're talking about people that, if they pray for you, you know, many of us, you've lost count of number of people that have laid hand on your head. You go for VG, they always lay hand on your head, but nothing is really changing. But there are some people that if they pray for you, you will know that something has changed. And it's not because of how much chaka. It's because of the authority that they have with God. And the Lord was telling me, and I remember when he was teaching us, because he came and he taught us in that last conference, talking about this thing of integrity, righteousness. He said, if a man will purge himself of this, he said, he doesn't struggle to walk in miracles. He said, he prays to God. He said, because of his life. Do you know one thing about the divine nature? If you will allow the divine nature to take root in you, there are many prayers that you will not need to. There are many prayers that people pray that are not necessary. This one I know experientially, I know. Because I know that there was a time in my life that they used to press me. Demons used to press me. Demons used to afflict me in my sleep. There was a time in my life that I used to be afflicted. There was a time in my life that I could never live in the house that I'm living in. You heard of what that woman that was a witch in our compound said. She told Caesar that I was the one that drove her away from that compound. I said, no, I'm not the one. I said, we were praying together. But you see, let me tell you something. I never prayed militant prayer over that woman. But I knew that she could not conquer. What witch? Are you getting my point? Because what happens is that when you allow the divine nature to take root in your life, you see, some of you do night, sorry, I'm not throwing jabs at anybody, but some of you do night VG because of attack, this one, that one, witchcraft, and you, in fact, you are even tired of that life. That's not the way it's supposed to be. If you are doing night VG, it should be because you want to know God more. It shouldn't be, your prayer should not be motivated by fear. If you do not get to a point where the word of God is beginning to change, if you are a believer and you are suspicious, that's not the divine nature. Amen? Amen? The Bible says love believes all things. That's the opposite of suspicion. I'm not saying you should be going around like a fool. What I'm saying is that if you are a suspicious person, you cannot be a kind person. If the default nature of your heart is that everybody is a bad person by default, you will just go out that you don't have the ability to be kind. You cannot be kind to strangers. What was the last straw that broke the camel's back for Abraham? That Abraham used to demonstrate the divine nature that God said, by this time next year, you are going to have a child. Abraham did not know that those people were angels when he saw them and brought them into his house. It's after he brought them into his house that he started relating with them that he realized that they were angels. Look at the way Abraham was kind to them. The Bible says that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Let me tell you something about the divine nature. The divine nature is kind. You see people that looks as if they are distressed, the natural disposition of your heart is to want to help them. When you have that divine nature, you just discover that the things that you have been praying for, that you have been running after, they will start running after you. The power of God that you so desire will now become commonplace in your life because you have allowed the divine nature to take root. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Can we pray and say, Lord, change my nature. Let me be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me not struggle to walk in your power. Change my nature. Change my nature. Change my nature. Let me not struggle to walk in your power. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We have to close now. The reason why I'm taking this long is because we are running on NEPA. We are not running on GEN. By next week, we'll continue. I must confess, we didn't study. I just didn't find, well, what we wanted to actually study today was what God is doing on the earth. Because there is what, you know, Bro Yemi, I think Bro Yemi, you mentioned something like that. You will know what God is doing. And we didn't consult. He said if you are working with the Holy Spirit, you will know what God is doing in your life. Might I add that you also know what God is doing on the earth. You know the current move of God. What God is doing on the earth, and why there are those that equip the church. Because there's something that God is doing on the earth right now. And there's something that God is always doing on the earth. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit is so invested in the earth. You know the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is on the earth, is in the church right now. There's something that he's doing. And you must know that thing. That was all we wanted to study today. Because many believers don't know what he's doing. He has a real agenda. And he's been doing it for over 2,000 years. And then, we also would have probably looked at the office of the apostle. Because we talked about touched on the office of the prophet last week. How many of us remember the things we said about the office of the prophet? You remember the things we said about the office of the prophet? One of the things I hope that we establish was to differentiate between the gift of prophecy and the work or the assignment of the prophet. Now, many people have seen people that call themselves apostles that don't even understand the office of the apostle. They think the apostle is the biggest man in the body of Christ, and because they like to be called the biggest man, they put apostle in front of their names. We'll look at what the office of the apostle, the assignment of the apostle entails. And we are doing all of this from scripture. Amen? Amen. Father, we ask that can we lift up our hands to the Lord? Father, we ask that you help us. We ask that you meet us at the points of our need. That no one among us will be under the exertion of the enemy. We ask that you provide for us even beyond what we need. For the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. We ask that we will never be distracted by our material needs. That our focus and our gaze will be on your kingdom and kingdom alone. Father, we thank you because we know you have heard us. Just like we prophesied at the beginning of this meeting, we decree that every work of darkness in the lives of anyone following this broadcast and anyone here is hereby destroyed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us.